The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we have been going through the theme of living the pure life, or living the life that Islam has envisioned us to live, we got to a point yesterday where we looked at the topic of community building. We want to move on from that point of last night and go on to our next discussion this evening. We've established a community, we have a center, we have programs, we have events, we have scholars that are with us on a regular basis. But what happens when that community is taken away from you? What happens when that community is literally stripped from under our feet overnight? You'll recall back in March of 2020, things were running pretty smooth at, 2019, 2020 rolled along, January, February, things were pretty good in the world. And then March came along and we were introduced to a new concept, a global pandemic, right? Something happened in some part of the world. This pandemic began to spread from country to country. People were dying. People were being hospitalized in mass numbers. Our healthcare systems were not equipped. Our society was not ready to deal with a mass pandemic. This is something which had not been seen for at least 300 years at that scale. And these communities that we have been building for the last 30, 40 years, immediately overnight, they were completely destroyed. They were decimated. The centers were locked. We had nowhere to go for our religious zeal, for our religious thirst. We were really left as orphans in a way. But at one level, reflecting on what we've been talking about over the last few nights, that as believers, if we were fully convinced and had conviction in Tawheed, in that oneness of God that we talked about in the second night, these kinds of things would not have fazed us, right? We wouldn't have become bewildered. We wouldn't have become lost in what to do in terms of religion and spirituality. Because we know for a fact that religion, and Islam in particular, religion is there to give us hope, to give us backing, to give us that support when times are difficult. So the question I want to ask in the next few moments and try and answer is, what is the proper procedure to ensure our piety in a time of a pandemic? Right? What can we do? Because we're still, technically speaking, living within COVID. It hasn't completely been eradicated, and some of these experts say that we may never come to a point where it is completely removed, that it will always be with us. Today, obviously, the centers are for the most part open. We don't have a lot of the limitations and restrictions, at least here we don't in this center, that other communities are still imposing on their community members. But how do we live within this time of a pandemic, and maybe what will come in the future? Because we don't know what will happen in the future. If you look at some of the hadith that talk about the akhir zaman, the latter days, the end of times, before the return of the imam, and nobody knows when the 12th imam will make his return. Many people like to say it's imminent, it's coming soon. But the reality is we don't know when the imam will make his return. I remember when major events had been happening in the world over the last 20 years, people would open up the books of hadith and they would find these traditions that give some of the socio-political, economic, religious things that will be happening in the world, and they would begin to kind of enumerate them. There's a very actually beautiful hadith that comes to us from Salman al-Muhammadi, if I'm not mistaken, where he basically was on the Hajj with Rasulullah, the farewell Hajj, the Hajjatul Wida. And the hadith mentions, just in brief, that as people are doing tawaf of the Kaaba, the Prophet of Allah is hanging on to the black cloth of the Kaaba, the Kiswa. And Salman sees him, and the Prophet is crying. And Salman, being the man that he was, he went to the Messenger of Allah and he asked him, what's the situation, what's wrong? And the Prophet wanted to give him some information or give somebody the information. Unfortunately, Salman was the man to get the information. And so the Prophet asked Salman if he wanted to know the signs before the end of times. And it's a lengthy hadith. There's probably about 60 to 80 things the Prophet enumerated, what would be happening. You know, the social climate of the world, things, for example, that like we see today where same-sex relationships have become common in society. Yes, this has been there since the days of Prophet Lut, alayhi salam. You can read the stories in the Quran, but at the level that it is today, where it is now legalized, it is now a part of the system, it is being taught in our elementary schools even, that this was probably never there in the early days. And so the Prophet went down enumerating sign after sign, what would be happening within the social climate of the world. What would the political climate be? What would the economic situation be? What would the religiosity of the people be at? Right? Some things that the Prophet mentioned in the tradition that really for his time 1400 years ago could not have been even thought of, I would say. But he was enumerating them, and this shows us the miracle that the Prophet was, that he was saying things that people couldn't even imagine would be a reality, maybe even scientific or breakthroughs in the world that he foretold that are coming true today. So anyways, my point being is that there will be a lot more struggle and challenges and difficulties that humanity will go through before the return and the eventual success of the Imam. In fact, some hadith even point to us to say that 1/3 of the population of earth, that's like 3 billion people today, will be killed by wars. Right? And you look at what's happening in the Middle East, you look at what's happening between Russia and Ukraine and other parts of the world, and the way that wars are going on, and sometimes countries are not even able to, you know, stop another country from imposing a war. And you think, well, how is that possible for that many people to die? But you see the way that we are degressing day by day, and it's very well possible. The same hadith says 1/3 of humanity will be killed by what they call like a virus or some kind of a sickness. Again, people will say, well, how could that many people die from a virus or an airborne or some kind of illness? And again, you look at whether it's the Spanish flu from 400, 500 years ago, to SARS, to HIV, to COVID, to whatever comes up in the future, the various strains, it's not difficult to believe that these kinds of hadith, obviously we believe them to be real, but it's not difficult to believe the actual implementation of these, because we see examples of them in a minute way in our lives, and that if the hadith are telling us these things that we believe in, then obviously this means that this will become a very strong possibility or probability or reality in the future.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Adi Ali حالي حاكم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور صل على محمد وآل محمد
يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.